Good morning, church. How you all doing today? It is so good to be with you all. It is such a joy and a privilege getting to gather together, getting to be with one another, getting to worship the Lord together and be in His Word together. So as Natalie mentioned, we are kicking off a new series today called Full of Faith, the Book of Haggai. Haggai is a minor prophet sandwiched between Zephaniah and Zechariah right toward the end of our Old Testament. So if you don't know where it is, if you want to follow along, you can turn to Matthew at the beginning of the New Testament and just flip back a couple of books. And this series is designed to encourage our church toward the promise and work of rebuilding together. Haggai was calling the Jewish people of his time to commit to the work of rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians after a long time of exile in Babylon. I think this is fitting after a long season of being in a global pandemic, that we as a church body could look to the future that God has for us. Many of us were in exile, in a sense. Maybe still feel like we are. In the first part of this series today, we will focus on building the house of the Lord. Building the house of the Lord. And as I study this text, the question that came to mind that just kind of was resonating with me was kind of hard to get out of my mind was, What are we building with our best? What are you building with your best? What am I building with my best? What do you give your best to? There are so many things that we can be drawn into, that we can give our best to without even realizing it, without even consciously deciding to, but we end up falling into. Whether that's school, or grades, or work, or your career, or money, or status, relationships, family, kids, knowledge, comfort, entertainment, hobbies, power. The list goes on and on, right? There's endless things that are drawing us and tempting us to give our best to. And a lot of those things are good in and of themselves, but what ought we build with our best? At the beginning of this calendar year, one of the goals that I found myself the most driven by and what I found myself giving my best to was being the best Mario Kart 8 driver and trying to win and unlock Golden Mario. Now, we had resisted getting video games for our kids for a really long time, and they finally wore us down. We got a Nintendo Switch in January, and we got Mario Kart. This is my favorite game, kind of from college and on, and I wanted to do this and have fun with the kids. And our one rule with the Switch was we have to play this together. Right? This is kind of a family bonding thing, so can't play it alone, but if you have someone else or a few other people, then yeah, go ahead. You can play. It'll be fun. I broke that rule myself in like the first week, I think, because got sucked into Mario Kart, and I really wanted to unlock Golden Mario. If you got first in all the races, then you got this only unlockable character that there was, and I'm happy to report I unlocked him pretty quickly. But then I discovered that you could also unlock a golden cart for Mario, and golden wheels, and a golden kite, and so you had to get first in all the time trials, and that was much more challenging. But I was giving my best to it. So of course, after a few weeks of staying up past midnight, most nights, because I had to wait till everyone got to bed, so I was hiding, you know, with the Switch, I was able to also unlock all the golden cart parts and have golden Mario, and felt a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment, of course. No, I felt so empty afterwards. Like, why am I doing this? The only person who seemed really impressed was Ryan Chow, because he came over and he's like, how did you get golden Mario and all the cart parts unlocked? And I was like, well, you know, I'm pretty good at Mario Kart, so. Now, that's a fun story, right? We can laugh at my expense maybe a little bit. But this question of what are you building with your best, I think it's meant to challenge us. And Haggai is calling out the people of Israel at his time to wrestle with this question, to really wrestle with it. Because it's so easy to give our best to what is not best for us, isn't it? It's so easy to give our best what is not best for us. But let us pray before we look more at our text and how it can call us to be more today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be together. And we pray that you would bless us through your word and challenge us on how we can give our best to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, before we jump into Haggai 1, I want to just give just a little bit more historical background just in case any of you are unfamiliar with kind of what time in history this takes place. So the Jewish people have been conquered by the Babylonians. They've kind of, you know, had a series of you know, prosperity, and then the Babylonians come in and they take over the nation of, it was kind of the southern nation of Israel, it was called Judah at that time. The northern nation already fallen to the Assyrians, and they raise the whole temple, and they displace a vast majority of the Israelites living in Jerusalem and Israel at that time, and they exile them to Babylon. It was just their practice at that time. This would have been like a horrific nightmare scenario. Imagine being uprooted from your home with everyone you know and everything you've ever known and being sent to a foreign land where you don't know anything, the language or the culture or the people or anything, and you just kind of have to survive and adapt and make do. Actually, it makes me think of the millions of Ukrainian refugees who've been displaced in our current times. Only they would have to be forced to resettle in Russia, the occupying or the attacking force in our current times. It's horrible, right? The Babylonians are eventually conquered by the Persians, and the Persian king decides to let the conquered nations of Babylon return to their homelands. Most of the Israelites decide to do this, and they begin to rebuild the temple, which the book of Ezra, which takes place before Haggai, recounts. However, they face opposition by the Samaritans to their north, and they eventually stop because they get discouraged, which is where Haggai picks up. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Haggai 1, verse 1. It'll also be on the screen behind me. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, August 29th, 520 BC, to be exact, if you were wondering, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of armies, God, Yahweh, says this, "These people say the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." And this is insightful because God himself is calling out the people. And he's saying, I see what you're either saying or what you're believing in your heart, that it's just not time to rebuild the house of the Lord right now. It's just, this is not a good time for us. They're making an excuse and he's calling it out. Verse 3, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house, my house, the house of the Lord of the temple is what he's referring to, lies in ruins? Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes but never have enough to be warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. The Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. He says it twice to emphasize. I think this is a message, a word for us today to also think carefully about our ways. Think carefully about your ways. The Hebrew here literally translates to set your heart on your ways. Another way to phrase that is, what are you giving your heart to? To think carefully about what you've given your heart to. Or what are you building with your best? The Jewish leaders at that time were giving their best to themselves. He's talking to the governor and the high priest. He names them. He drops names. He says, your paneled houses, which would have been very expensive to build at that time. They, you know, would have had panel built out of fancy wood at that time to cover over the uglier stone of their homes. You're given to that. You eat and you drink, but are never satisfied. Let me tell you, nothing apart from God will ever satisfy us, no matter how much of ourselves or how much of our best we give to it. Only the Lord can satisfy us. Later on in verse 9, God says that he actually ruined their harvest. Why? Because his house lies in ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. What he calls them out for. You see, it's much easier to build our own homes than to build God's kingdom or God's home, God's house, the house of the Lord. So again, I ask, what are you building with your best? What are you building with your best? Let's think carefully about these things. Haggai 1, verse 8, goes on to say, go up into the hills. This is what he calls them to. He says, he calls them out, and he says, do this instead. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house. Again, he's referring to the temple, the house of the Lord. And I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Build the house of the Lord is what we're called to. Build the house of the Lord. I love this picture that he kind of calls them out to. He says, well, I want you to go uphill. That's hard in and of itself. If you've ever gone uphill, you know. Cut down lumber, also hard work. If you've ever had to cut down lumber, bring it back down. Now, going downhill is easier than uphill, unless you're carrying a bunch of lumber with you. Then it's super hard. And build the house, which again is hard work. You see, we're called to build first for the Lord with our best, and then build our homes, the rest of our lives with the rest. Instead, we often build our own kingdoms with our best, and we give God whatever is left over, don't we? I know I do that oftentimes. Jesus talks about this. He says, those who save their lives for themselves will lose them, will lose their lives, because you're building for what won't last. But those who lose their lives for me, for my kingdom, will find true life. Once we've carefully thought about our ways, we ought to ask, am I building for God? Let us give our best to the Lord by building for him. Let us give our best to the Lord by building for him. We can ask questions like, is God pleased with what I'm building with my life? Or is what I'm building just pleasing me? Does what I'm building bring God glory, or does it bring me glory? I want to share four practical ways that we can build a house of the Lord that I believe Scripture calls us to. And I don't have time to go through all the Scriptures for this today, but if you want to talk more about it, let me know. I'm going to share three now, and I'm going to save one for later in my talk. The first is prayer, okay? And these four things, they're really hard to do, I think, in my opinion, and still try to be building for yourself. The way they're set up is actually to kind of shift our focus and our attention in our lives to building for the Lord. And prayer is the first one. Prayer is so huge. Prayer points us in the direction of the Lord and reminds us what's really important. And it's a way to actually set aside time and attention and worship so that you're not diverting it and wasting your time on other things. It helps us focus on the Lord and what's really important. So it kind of unlocks all and everything else that follows after it in our lives. Tim Keller, in his book Prayer, which I'd highly recommend if you haven't had a chance to read it, if you're looking for a book on prayer, talks about this. And he talks about how this concept of like how you can have audio in the background in your life, right? Like and do other things, whether that's study or work or things around the house maybe. And that's great. He says kind of when you have a video on it, it tends to draw your attention, and it's hard to do much else when you've got a video on. It's just you're looking at it, you're listening to it, and all the above. And he basically kind of draws this analogy that often with God, it's like we kind of have God on audio in the background of our lives. He's kind of secondary, but prayer kind of makes it more like video. He says this, a prayer encounter with God takes the love of God, the greatness of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, which most of us experience only on audio, and puts it on video. Prayer plunges us into the fullness of who he is, and his love becomes more real than any rejection or disappointment we're experiencing. Then we can handle our problems and we can hold our heads high again. I thought that was really good. That prayer is like video. It draws our attention more so than ever before into the goodness, the power, the beauty of God. It's a way we can build for the Lord. Secondly, the second practical I want to challenge you with is tithing. Tithing is a biblical concept that you see from the Old Testament to the New of giving your first 10% back to the Lord. And it's kind of like a minimum, at least. And in the agrarian culture, the Israelites win this would have been crops or livestock. And when they didn't give their best ones to the Lord, because sometimes they would, kind of give them just the leftovers of their crops or whatever didn't seem like, you know, the most bountiful harvest, or maybe the sickly livestock, God would call them out for that. And so can we apply this in our present times as well and see tithing even as like a spiritual discipline that God calls us to give of our first fruits? Not what's left over at the end of a budget month, but at the very beginning. I remember hearing a challenge when I was in college of even tithing out of your gross income as opposed to your net. And I didn't have either of those when I was in college. But I remember thinking, oh, I want to apply this when I do get a job and start making regular paycheck. And if we're just giving out of our net, it's like we're giving to the government first, and then we give to the Lord whatever's left over, right? And I want to challenge us to consider how we can give and build for the Lord with our best. And that's a way to even build this local body of believers and allow us to be more generous as a church as well, is by tithing and doing so with our best. Third thing, service, okay? Service and serving are so huge. And again, it's a way to build for the Lord and not for ourselves. In our discipleship pathway, we use the phrase, say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ. Say or do something to serve a brother and sister in Christ. Is that a habit you have regularly? Can you look for those opportunities with one another? Also, I would love if everyone in our church served in one of our Sunday service roles once a month here. And many of you do. Thank you so much. It is so huge. I took over our Sunday service department director role a little over a year ago, and I kind of been involved in the service, but seeing it kind of from an overview of all of our people serving, just to make this happen and make it a great service for our whole church and for others visiting, it takes a ton of people, like over 50 people a Sunday. It's crazy. And so we'd love to ask you, if you aren't already, to serve once a month in one of our roles, hospitality, greeting, parking, and our tech team with New Life Kids, worship team, all the above. Again, if you already are, I'm not asking you to do more, because we'd love to actually have you be able to participate and experience the service regularly as well. But if you're not serving, I want to challenge you to consider it, and I'm going to put my email and my phone number up here, because we already did connection cards, so you already passed those in. But if you're not and you are interested to committing to serving once a month here on a Sunday morning, email me, text me, whatever's easier for you, and I promise to get back to you. Along with serving, I would also love for us to be challenged to love our neighbors, okay? Not just to love and serve those inside the church, but those outside the church as well. We put up this here. We kind of had a decal in the past, and it's really hard to put that many words up straight and have it look good and consistent, and we had to take it down, and then we had to repaint the wall. It was a whole fiasco. We had this brainstorm of what if we could project kind of these two passages that really describe what we want our church to be about. So we seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church that lives out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can we look for those who are hurting among us, who are in need outside of our church, and love them as our neighbor, as we want to be loved ourselves? This overarching thought of building the temple that we're called to, that Haggai is calling and the Lord is calling the Israelites to, the way that translates to present times is that we're the temple as followers of Jesus. We're where the Holy Spirit resides once we come to faith in him. And if you take it a step further, in the cross and resurrection, we're joining in the work of Christ in renewing all of creation. Seeing God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, furthering the name and glory of Jesus. When we love our neighbors and we see justices, injustices made right, God's will is done, I believe. We're called to join in Jesus in the work of renewing creation, physically and spiritually. With serving, are you building with your best? I know I'm challenging you. These things challenge me so much as well. They take a lot of faith, right? I think that's part of why we titled this series Full of Faith, because this is calling us to be more full of faith. We can't do these things otherwise. We can't build or give our best to the Lord without faith. All right, so how do our Israelites respond to Haggai's challenge and his words to them? Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the entire remnant of the people obeyed the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. So the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people. I am with you. This is the Lord's declaration. The Lord roused the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They began work on the house of the Lord of armies, their God. I love that. I love that. And so I was kind of going through this, and you know, I was studying, and I was kind of wondering, like, oh, is there some sort of like formula here? Like, it seemed like they begin to obey, and then they get this great promise from the Lord of I'm with you, and then they obey some more. And I was thinking about it, I was like, I'm thinking this too linearly, like a Westerner might. Because in the Hebrew culture, you would have what's called a chiasm, which is a literary device to show you where the emphasis is meant to be in a passage. With a chiasm, you've got parallel structure. A passage begins and it communicates something, and then it says something else, and then it kind of steps back and it ends in the same way that it began, and so on and so forth. And where the emphasis is in that middle message, kind of what it's building to. And I think this passage has a simple chiasm. We can throw it up here if it isn't already. The people obey the Lord, their God, with the beginning of passage, and it says, the Lord's message, I am with you. That's the central message. Then they began work of the house of the Lord, obedience again. So the emphasis is on the Lord's message. I am with you. Not necessarily on their obedience, though their obedience is important as well. But it's that promise of the Lord being present with us that is so huge and so amazing, and then also is such a big part of us being able to obey and build for him with our best. I believe this is God's deepest desire. Like, if you take a step back and look at the whole of Scripture, God's deepest desire is to be with us, is witness, is relationship with each and every single one of us and every person throughout all of human history. From Genesis to Haggai here in the Old Testament, from Matthew to Revelation in the New Testament, Jesus came to earth, God in flesh, to be with us, to die for us, to make a way to be with us for all eternity. How does God build with his best? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So amazing and so beautiful, isn't it? You see, not only does God call us to build for him with our best, he's the one who set the example for us from the very beginning. He literally gave his best for our entire world. That ought to stir us, right? That ought to rouse us as the Israelites were. Can you think of where else we've heard this message of I am with you? Right there, it's our second verse, right? It's a great commission. What Jesus says after his resurrection to his disciples, says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always. I am with you always to the very end of the age. The disciples would have heard that, and they would have thought of this passage in Haggai as well. And they would have made the connection that building for the Lord, rebuilding his temple, his house, in present times, in this church age, it means building the church and the local church and the global church, which means going and making disciples of Jesus. My last practical to you all, the fourth one, is to live sent. To live sent. It's a phrase we use here, which simply is meant to embody loving your neighbor and going and making disciples. I love this because we're called to share the good news with others and to make disciples. And it's a high calling. It's such a high calling. I find it terrifying, to be honest. I've been following Jesus for 20 years. I'm a pastor, and I still find it terrifying. But it's so exciting as well. It's so exciting and so such a powerful opportunity, such an adventure that God invites us on. You mean God wants to use little old me to change the course of someone's life and eternity? Wow, what an honor. What an honor. Now, if you don't know where to start about how to share your faith, share the gospel, or how to make disciples, we're actually going to be offering a class and a podcast about this very thing in August. I'd love to invite you to check that out. But you know what? Even better than that is ask your home group leader or discipleship group leader or a staff person, if you don't have one of those, to teach you and to show you how to do these things. We would love to do that. That's part of our calling as followers of Jesus. So please ask. Please ask us. So I was thinking about this message. It reminded me of the first time I heard the gospel. Because to be honest with you all, I really feel like I have no business being up here in front of you sharing these things and sharing the word. I was born in a third world country in Eastern Europe with very little to no faith background. I grew up in a setting with a lot of abuse and dysfunction in the home. I, growing up, found myself, chose to give myself to things that would never satisfy, that I thought would but never did. Grades and sports, relationships. And I just felt so empty and lost and alone more than anything else for about the first 18 years of my life. A couple of friends took a risk, reached out to me, invited me to church. I started learning about this Jesus guy. Actually, there were a few friends before that I said no to. Eventually, I said yes. And I decided to make him my Lord and Savior. The good news of the gospel, it gripped me. It gripped my heart. You mean the God of the universe wants me? Like, seriously? And promises to be with me no matter what? No matter how much I screw up, past, present, or future? Yeah. Yeah. Even more than that, his grace is so good and beautiful. Those four things I listed out, man, we're going to fail at those things. We're going to not do those things well. And God says, I still love you like crazy. Yeah, let's do better. Let's do better next time. Let's learn. That's his patience with us. I came to college here. I found new life pretty early on and learned what it meant to be a disciple. I was taught that here and how to build for the Lord. Without Jesus, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'd be building a shallow shell of a life for myself right now. A shallow shell of a life. And it'd be a wreck. But with Jesus and building with him, and choosing to lose my life for him over and over again, I've experienced tremendous fulfillment in him. The privilege of leading a few people to the Lord over the years, to disciple a number of people, and to serve with countless people, with you all. It's been hard and painstaking at times, don't get me wrong. But it's been so good. So, so good. God gave his best that we could have a relationship with him so we would know how to live for what matters. Let us think carefully about our ways. Let us build for God and not ourselves with our best, and let us remember he promises to always be with us through it all. With Jesus, we can build for him and for what will last for eternity. Let us do so full of faith. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, for how it challenges us, for how it calls us to be more. Help us to see ourselves how you see us and to build for you with our best, Jesus. With our whole lives, pray and ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen.